This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. 2 years ago, Democrat John Fisher ran for state house in the 61st district. Fisher is again the Democratic candidate challenging Brant Eyden, his Republican opponent 2 years ago, to represent Portage, part of Vicksburg, as well as Oshtemo, Prairie Ron, Texas, and Schoolcraft Townships. John Fisher, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Gordon.
Reintroduce yourself to the audience.
Thank you. I'm the Reverend John Fisher. I'm the pastor at the Oshtemo United Methodist Church, which to me means I have a deep heart for service, and I'm convinced we need more of us in Lansing that go there to serve people and not themselves. Also, I have the privilege, I'm living in the house in Portage where I was born and raised. I took a step down to come back to Kalamazoo so I could take care of my mom while she was dying, and now I have the house to live in. And that points out to me that I'm seeking to represent my home district. Born and raised, always responsible in Portage. I've served the churches in Schoolcraft and Prairie Round, used to deliver grain and got my hair cut at Dee's Barbershop in Vicksburg. I now serve the church in Oshtemo. All of that means I have a deep, intimate knowledge. And again, I think we need representatives that know their district well.
So if you are elected to the state house, what would you like to accomplish there?
First, I'm going to make sure the people of my district are well represented. I've been out knocking on doors. It's one of the best parts is spending times. I've knocked on hundreds of doors every week and meeting people in their homes allows you an opportunity to see the fullness of their lives. Beyond that, I've got a wonderful four-point jobs plan, which I think is very important. The first point of that jobs plan is Michigan money should stay in Michigan. When Michigan is letting out contracts, we need to see to it that Michigan corporations are given first shot and given some preferential treatment. I think it's appalling that, for instance, when we started the newest campaign for Pure Michigan, money went to Ohio. It's ironic that we would be paying Ohio workers with Michigan money.
How much preferential treatment do you give, though? I mean, how do you weight that? Because somebody from Ohio may can't come in at a much lower price, and you may think that the work that they would do is comparable.
That will be the big part of the debate, won't it, as to how heavy to lean onto those scales? Because there's a trade-off. You may save a little money here, but you're spending more because you're shipping money out of state, and the money you would have spent here would keep our economy going as opposed to Ohio's economy. And I don't yet have the full wisdom on that. That's why we have a legislature. There'll be other people there that'll know how best to balance that.
So what else would you like to do to create jobs?
The next one would be hold corporations responsible. When we give tax breaks and various incentives to corporations and they promise to create jobs, if they don't create those jobs, they need to repay that money. And if they ship those jobs out of state or even out of country, then I think they need to repay that money plus some kind of penalty.
Is there any statute of limitations on that? In other words, if you create X number of jobs and then 5 years later, the changes in the economy, et cetera, do they still have to pay back that tax break?
And again, those details are ones that need to be worked out. And there has to be some window. I mean, what do you do when a corporation just disappears?
Or when
Upjohns becomes Pfizer? There are trade-offs, but you saw that. The city of Kalamazoo did well. They gave tax breaks to the Gazette for their new building. Then they chose not to use it, and they had to pay the money back.
And you said it's a four-point plan, so a couple more.
Right. The next one is around education. We need to make sure that everybody is educated and trained, not just for the jobs of today, but the jobs of tomorrow. That means fully funding our public education system. Also, looking at what we do with universities. When my generation went to Western here, the state paid for 70% of the cost and tuition covered 30%. Now that figure is absolutely reversed. We need to reinvest in that. But not everybody needs to go to college. There are trade schools. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Unions Apprentice Shop training program is right here in Kalamazoo, and it is Kalamazoo Promise eligible. We need to train our skilled labor force. We need to help support things like the programs at KVCC. My youngest son was in their drafting program, and it's outstanding and leads to good jobs. We need to train people for those jobs that will help to improve their livelihood. And we need to get the legislature out of the education of our young people.
So you're talking about fully funding public education. It sounds like you want to boost the state appropriation for higher education and also offer some support for trade schools as well. So how are you paying for that?
It's always the issue, isn't it? And there are several proposals. One that I like is the two-tier system. We've seen that work in Minnesota, where the people who benefit the most from our economy pay their fair share in support of the things that bring them their income, that help to support the endeavors that are helping them to have their income. So we look at how do we see to it that we make the tax fair so that everybody is paying a fair portion of their income and what they're earning to support the things that keep the state thriving.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans speaking with John Fisher. He's the Democratic candidate for State House in the 61st District, which includes the city of Portage. If you were in the legislature, would you propose any new regulations on guns in the state? And if so, what would they be?
That's one of those wonderful hot topic issues, isn't it? What do we do about guns? I grew up with guns all around the house. I was a member of the Kalamazoo Rod and Gun Club. We had a shooting competition each week. I even had a trap in the basement we used to practice at home. So I know both the utility and the joy of gun ownership and firing of guns. And we have a gun violence problem. So we need to find ways that recognize the truth of the Second Amendment while having an honest discussion about how do we end gun violence. We have some proven steps, you know, full or complete background checks. But beyond that, we need to have an ongoing open discussion with each other about what makes us safe, how do we curb gun violence. And we did this a few years ago. When I was growing up, my generation was never going to wear a seatbelt. We didn't want to be trapped in a car in an accident. We were going to get out. We were never going to wear a seatbelt. Now we even buckle our children and our grandchildren up into car seats and think it's foolish not to. The same may be true about, is our home safer with a loaded handgun readily available, or is it not safer? We need to have that conversation.
So that sounds like more of a public education effort to convince people that a loaded handgun in the house, you can show the statistics that say, if anything, it's more likely to lead to perhaps the gun being taken away if someone breaks in. It's more likely to lead to an accidental shooting. It may lead to, if someone goes through a time of depression, suicide. Is that what you're talking about?
I think that's what it may bear out. But right now, we don't know. And we have to open the curtain and allow that discussion to occur. We weren't even allowed to track statistics for a number of years. Now we can start talking about the statistics and have an honest discussion that says, I don't want to take your gun away. I want to see how we make it safe.
Would you support reforming Michigan's auto insurance system?
I think we need to look at it slowly and carefully. It has worked well. I've had a number of parishioners who absolutely depend upon having that lifetime care. And I know a number of people are paying too much. The things that we need to look at is the transparency of the commission that sets the rate for uninsured motorists and the catastrophic injuries. We need to open that up so we can see what it really needs to look like, and if there's any savings to be found there.
Do you think there could be a link between the lifetime care offered in Michigan, which is not offered in any other state, for someone seriously injured in an accident, and the fact that the auto insurance rates in Michigan are considered among the highest in the country?
Yes, there quite likely is a link, but that's where we got to look at how those rates are being set.
Well, in your mind, is that a price, though, that we should be willing to pay? We should be willing to have higher auto insurance rates so that people like the parishioners in your church who need lifetime care are able to get it.
Right now, yes.
This is considered to be one of the most expensive races for state house in Michigan this year. Should people be concerned about the role of money in politics and in policy, especially in this race?
Yes. Yes, they should. It changes the function of the candidate and of the representative when it absorbs so much time just raising money that they aren't able to fully function as taking care of their constituents or meeting the people they need to meet with, the people they want to represent. Now, the next part of that is we absolutely need to eliminate the dark money by at least letting it be seen. I heard a ad that was attacking me on WKZO radio the other day, and it was paid for by Michigan First, which sounded pretty nice. And when you find it, Michigan First is incorporated in Alexandria, Virginia. And if you look to who gave the money for that, none of the donors are listed, but they did have to list the treasurer. And the treasurer is Theodore Koch. So
related to Charles and David, presumably?
It's spelled correctly.
K-O-C-H.
Yeah, that type of thing needs to at least have the light of day. It's unfortunate that since the Supreme Court decided that money equaled free speech, that money then controls the dialogue. For instance, from 2004 until 2013, my sermon on Labor Day always included the illustration of Apple Corporation, which was sitting on a mountain of cash at the time. And it went from a few hundred million to now maybe $100 billion. And there were thousands of articles written about what Apple could do with that cash, invest in this new endeavor, buy that company. And it wasn't until 2013 that there was one article written suggesting they could pay their workers more. That's how money controls the conversation.
So 2 years ago, you got 42% of the vote, and now you are facing Brant Eyden as an incumbent representative. So why might this year be different than 2 years ago?
The first best thing that changed this year is a twofold thing. We have a much stronger ground game. I have a wonderful staff and group of volunteers. We've knocked on over 30,000 doors thus far and made over 5,000 phone calls. We are really working hard to represent the people of my home district. Second, Representative Eyden has upset enough of the local Republicans that a former Republican mayor, Betty Lee Onley, is campaigning loudly and strongly for me, which I think shows that the people recognize that my opponent lacks judgment and too often has put profits above people. And hopefully that message will sell and we'll get there.
John Fisher, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
John Fisher is the Democratic candidate for State House in the 61st District. That includes Portage, part of Vicksburg, as well as Oshtemo, Prairie Ronde, Texas, and Schoolcraft Townships. A link to the interview with Fisher's opponent, Republican Representative Brant Eyden, can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.